This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
Boker Tov, Anthony Reich, how are you?
Boker Tov, an interesting little story that I saw actually yesterday concerns a new IDF infantry brigade that has been established in order to recruit ultra-Orthodox recruits. It's called Chashmonaim. The brigade has just been set up, and on Sunday, the first 50 new recruits entered the new Chashmonaim Brigade to be drafted for their military service. In addition to the 50 new recruits who joined up, there were also 100 ultra-Orthodox reservists who joined up in order to enlist and to do a six-month infantry training program under the auspices of the brigade. And the brigade, as I've said before, is an infantry brigade. It's expecting ultimately to have something like 3,000 fighters who are anticipated to enlist within the coming year. And the brigade has been specially set up in order to accommodate the lifestyle and the special requirements of ultra-Orthodox recruits. So whether it be their daily routines, or whether it be the type of food, or whether it would it be other issues that ultra-Orthodox recruits might expect when they join the army. This apparently has all been arranged within the auspices of the Chashmonaim Brigade, and of course within the methods of operating within the IDF. I mean, there has to be some sort of a coming together, a partnership of sorts, which will accommodate the general aspects of ultra-Orthodox lifestyle, while also, of course, allowing for the discipline and for the training and for the policies that are generally applied to other IDF brigades. And I think that this is a great step forward. I know that there's been a lot of investment on the part of the IDF, and some people say, well, it's not really worth going to all the trouble, because in the end, what can we expect back again? I think that it's not only about what the IDF can gain, which I think is potentially quite a lot, but I think we also need to think about Israeli society in general, broader Israeli society, and the fact that those people who don't attend the army have a slightly different status. They have a slightly different situation in our society, and that the army is a great mixing pot and a great opportunity builder for so many young people in this country. The connections and the friendships and the knowledge that is gained from being in the IDF is something which I think is like a university of life, and that there are very few things that could really replace it. And I think that for our ultra-Orthodox youth, it's important for them, as important for them, perhaps even more important for them, to undergo this university of life training while still maintaining their general lifestyle. So I am a great supporter of this, even though I know that the IDF has had to invest tremendous amounts of time, effort and money, people, resources in order to make this happen. I think it's a very important thing for not only the IDF, but our country in general. And I fear that this ultra-Orthodox draft law, which is still buzzing around the Knesset and which some people feel could be the rise and fall of the coalition government, that if this is not adequately dealt with, that the coalition may fall as a result of that. I hope that this whatever draft law that's eventually agreed upon will not interrupt this great step forward, which I believe has been made.
Yeah, Anthony, three civilians were killed in a terror attack yesterday. Two IDF soldiers were killed in northern Gaza. So what further updates about these incidents do we have? Can we start with the three civilians killed in the terror attack?
Yeah, so this was a terror attack that took place near to Kidumim in the what's commonly called the West Bank area, near to Kidumim. It's also near to an Arab village called Al-Funduk. And I've seen some video footage of the incident, which is really scary. People simply pulled up in what looks like a regular white car. The car stops. People jump out of the car. What we don't see in the video is in the CCTV pictures, the video that I've seen, is that they run off and they shoot towards a bus that is passing by, and they shoot towards another car that's driving along the road. Mm-hmm. And then they return to the car, and we see quite clearly in the CCTV footage that it takes them quite a long time to get back into the car. There didn't seem to be any real rush to return back to the car, but eventually the drive off was quite sudden, with one of the doors not being properly closed. And that was the CCTV footage of the terrorists who carried out the shooting against a bus and a civilian car. They are still being hunted down by the IDF. They still have not been apprehended. We understand that they are from Jenin, from the Jenin area, and the IDF are very much on their trail to apprehend these individuals. There seemed to be one person who undertook the shooting, and there were other people in the car as well. So the IDF are very much on their trail to track them down. But unfortunately, in the meantime, three people have been killed and others have been quite seriously injured in this just thoughtless and quite brutal shooting attack, which clearly was just carried out randomly against civilian vehicles, a bus and civilian cars that were simply driving along the road, pretty much minding their own business. Two sisters-in-law, Rachel Cohn and Eliza Rice, both of them in their early 70s, were killed. They were driving in the car together, and they were killed when they were shot by this gunman while driving in their car. And the other person who was killed was an Israeli policeman who happened just to be driving past when this incident took place. He had in the car with him his young son. He immediately stopped his car. He got out. He shot towards the terrorists, and unfortunately, in the process, he was shot, and right before the eyes of his young son, he was shot and killed in that incident, which is a very, very tragic story. Not only him, but the driver of the bus has also been quite seriously injured and has gone for treatment, as well as some other people who were on the bus, some of them slightly more serious, some of them less serious. A woman in her 60s is considered to be in moderate condition. Six other people were treated for light injuries in Petah Tikva and Kfar Saba. And in the meantime, the manhunt continues for the individual who carried out this attack. I should also add that the Jenin area has been a focus for Palestinian Authority forces undertaking operations in order to root out terrorists who have housed themselves in the area of Jenin. We understand that this character who carried out the shooting yesterday and the people around him were members of Palestinian Islamic Jihad. We know that the Palestinian Authority has been carrying out these operations in order to root out terror. There have been people who have been killed and arrested as a result of the Palestinian Authority activities. Jenin seems to be very much a hotbed of terror activity right now. Ironically, even though the Palestinian Authority seems to be somehow taking steps to try to address this issue of the terrorism in Jenin, it has also been recorded that members of the Palestinian Authority forces have also somehow been involved with terror activities. And we understand that some of the forces have been members of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad while being buried with full military honors as members of the Palestinian Authority security forces. So just because they happen to be members of the security forces of the Palestinian Authority doesn't necessarily preclude them from actually participating in terror activities. And so we have a serious issue on our hands right now. First of all, we have a major tragedy in terms of the civilians who have been killed, the families and children who have been left behind as a result of these shootings, young children who are now orphans as a result of their parents having been killed in these shootings, others who are quite seriously injured. In addition to that, of course, we have this ongoing issue of the terror on our borders. And, you know, it's not only that we're fighting in Gaza and that we're fighting against the Houthis and that we're fighting against Iran and that we're fighting against attacks that come from Iraq and we're fighting attacks that come from Hezbollah, from Lebanon and from Syria and from other Gaza areas as well. But we also have, and of course, Gaza, I forgot to mention, but of course, Gaza. But of course, we also have this terror right on our borders. And this is a classic terror attack that's taking place a few kilometers from Israeli towns and cities. And so this is just another front that people should be aware of that we continue to fight.
So, Anthony, just before you go on, to talk about the other incidents, I mean, this morning, BBC, I actually have it up on my phone, their second lead story, the first one is about this earthquake, the 7.1 earthquake in China, right, and Tibet. The other one is, this is the headline, "Stop shooting, my daughter is dead. Woman killed as West Bank power struggle rages." Now, knowing the BBC and the way that it reports on Israel, reading that headline, one assumes that it is Israel. Only when you get halfway down the story does the mother of the shot daughter say, Shatta's family holds the Palestinian Authority security forces fully responsible for her killing, saying their area is controlled by the Palestinian Authority. It couldn't have been anyone other than the Palestinian Authority, this is what the mother says, because they have such a heavy presence in our neighborhood, no one else could come or go. But the Palestinian Authority blames outlaws, the term they use for members of the Jenin Battalion, made up of fighters from armed groups, including Palestinian Islamic Jihad and Hamas. It's exactly the same. It's exactly what you're saying. So what is the status of the West Bank or Judea and Samaria, whatever term, you know, it's so politicized as what one calls it. What is the
Let's
status?
Let's call it the Palestinian Authority area because really that's under the control of the Palestinian Authority. Just Perfect. As a reminder, people, the Palestinian Authority was created under the Oslo Accords. And even though people have pronounced Oslo dead and buried some time ago, this is certainly one of the enduring aspects of Oslo that we continue to live with today. The Palestinian Authority under Mahmoud Abbas continues to rule over the Palestinian Authority area, which is an area which has been defined, that is agreed with Israel. The boundaries, the borders are quite clear. Since the war broke out, and the IDF has felt no issue with going into the Palestinian Authority area, even though that was quite clearly outlawed under the Oslo arrangement. But the IDF have gone into the Palestinian Authority area in order to take care of certain terror activities. But the Palestinian Authority itself has also gone in and taken care of certain terror activities. And the reason is not because it feels any obligation to Israel. The reason is because those Palestinian Islamic Jihad terrorists and others, Hamas, who are operating within the Palestinian Authority area, are a potential threat to the Palestinian Authority itself and to Mahmoud Abbas's leadership of the Palestinian Authority. And that is the reason why they are taking care of it. And of course, we have certain elements in common because we both feel the threat from these terrorists. So it should be quite clear that the Palestinian Authority is clearly taking care of its own problems and itself, and they are quite ruthless in the way that they take care of it. And nobody is shining a spotlight on the way that they deal with things, Geneva Convention, humanitarian aid, any of those terms are not being applied to the way in which the Palestinian Authority is taking care of things. But it's been interesting that they've said absolutely nothing about the IDF coming in and also taking care of certain matters, even if it might not quite be to their liking. But the point is that it is very, very confusing and very mixed up because there are elements of Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad who have somehow infiltrated into the Palestinian Authority security services. And they too are a little bit confused in the way that they deal with things and are a potential threat to the stability of the Palestinian Authority. Right now, Israel's interest is to keep the Palestinian Authority as stable as possible. But of course, they haven't had elections for some time. There is a lot of militation against the Palestinian Authority, as you can sense from that BBC article when it eventually comes out that this is an Arab citizen of the Palestinian Authority who has some issue about the way that they are being treated by their own authority, by the Palestinian Authority itself. So it is very, very confusing. And Israel has to be very smart in the way in which it gathers its intelligence in order to somehow keep a lid on this, because we definitely don't want to open up another front, even though we potentially already have something of a front open up with the terrorism in those areas. But we certainly don't want to create another war, an open warfare right now, given that our forces are already quite stretched in the work that they're doing elsewhere. But this is an ongoing festering problem within our midst, which somehow will need to be dealt with, and shows people why the concept of a two-state solution is very problematic. I mean, some of us believe strongly in a two-state solution, but when the two-state solution involves a type of Palestinian Authority lookalike, where there are terrorists roaming around quite freely and even being supported in some aspects, and the objective of those people is to destroy the state of Israel from as close by Jewish towns and cities as they can get, then us actually giving our blessing to the establishment of a Palestinian Authority under those conditions is very, very problematic indeed. So we've probably gone
a little bit too deeply into something. No, I think it's very important what you're saying. I mean, the first line, right, so you've got the headline that says, and this is the BBC, just before New Year, 21-year-old, given name, was out buying chocolate for her family's children from a shop in Jenin in the occupied West Bank. Now, for people, we live in a time where people only read the headlines. They don't read the subscript. They don't read the story. They don't question the facts. They don't interrogate the, you know, who's telling the story.
Right.
And there's no critical thinking. So this is part
of emotive term. And this emotive term in the occupied West Bank is a contradiction, because they've already said that that's under the control of the Palestinian Authority.
Right, it's misleading.
So who's occupying what?
Yes.
So who's occupying what in this particular case? That's, you know, very, very contradictory.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just want to, just before I have to run off, I just do want to mention the two soldiers who were killed in northern Gaza. We didn't have a chance to talk much about that, and we will do so. One soldier's name has been released for publication, the other one unfortunately not yet, for whatever reason the family has asked for that name not to be released, but we do just want to send our condolences and to send our immense gratitude to these families who have sacrificed their sons. In the case of the one soldier, we know it's Captain Eitai Shiknazi. He's from Eli. He's the 11th soldier from Eli to be killed. 827 IDF soldiers killed since the war began. And we just want to mention that. We'll talk a little bit more about what's happening in Gaza, hopefully tomorrow.
Please God. Anthony Reich, thank you very, very much. As always, you really are just incredible in what you do for us. And by us, I mean myself and the 92,000 people listening to us right now. So thank you very, very much. It is 8:01. And I wish you a wonderful day. Chat tomorrow morning. That was the Israel Report with Anthony Reich.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.